Kentucky gets the win over Arkansas. And it was my favorite win of the season. We'll talk about that today and preview the Florida matchup on today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. It's a dreary day today.
I know you just had a long meeting on Zoom. You doing okay mentally?
I'm doing good, you know.
Okay.
Not completely drained at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, it's good to talk a little hoop after a long day at work. You know, I'm with you on that. So let's get straight into this Arkansas game. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me say it. It might have been my favorite win of the season. Carson and I talked about this on the phone the other day. And my thought here is this. The defense played incredible. I thought, there's lots of stuff to add here. The Arkansas is not good. And we got to remember that. Okay. Arkansas is not good. I've said that every time that I've broken down, you know, this point. Arkansas is not a good team. But when the defense looks good, the defense looks good. The shots didn't fall, but the Cats won ugly. I was happy. Carson, what about you?
Yeah, I was happy. It's definitely good to see us win a rough, rugged game. We haven't won one of those this year, so it's nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, winning ugly is – here's the deal, okay? Carson, if we play Houston in the Elite Eight, right? Let's say that happens. And they've, you know, great defense. Houston has great defense. So let's say you beat them. I don't care. We could beat them 54-52. Do you care?
Would you care? No, we're on the final floor.
Precisely. And in March – now, is it March? Last time I checked, it is not yet March. But – the point is, winning ugly matters. You know, we can, and we will nitpick. Of course, we're going to nitpick, you know, this game and talk about what we liked and didn't like. But winning ugly is a win, you know. In SEC play, when you play, especially at Bud Walton, and I'll tell you what, old Bud Walton was more fired up than I thought it was going to be, Carson. It was fired up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Musselman was yelling and doing Musselman
losing
things. Losing his mind, but the Cats find a way to get the win. You know, a player who I was really impressed with in this one was Reed Shepherd. You want to know why? 0-for goose in the first half, 0-for-5 from the field. What does he do? He comes back in the second half and he's 5-for-7. And you could really say was the reason Kentucky leaves that with the win there. What are your thoughts on Reed in that game, Carson?
Yeah, I loved watching Reed play on Saturday. He actually, so we talked about in our previous episode that he needed more minutes and definitely more shots.
Yeah.
They played him 35 minutes. A majority of those minutes, he actually played a point guard.
Yeah.
And he looked really freaking good running our offense. Really good. Makes sound decisions. And you know what? The most impressive stat I had for him, he had four steals. It's insane.
He's just so good. He is just so good. I mean, the plus minus, to me, it's such a, he's so, it's like, I can't give you analysis. Dude can hoop. I mean, he's just so good. So good for Reed for having an ugly first half. And what did he do? He turned it around and he was a big reason why the Cats win. I mean, think about it. He had, you know, all was points in the – I mean, second half, good for him. I mean
– he controlled the pace of the game in the second half.
And you said four steals. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't add, and I didn't either. Four rebounds, five assists. I mean –
yeah, exactly. I didn't throw in those stats. But, you know, with Reed nowadays, you just expect just crazy box stats. So, it's like, you know.
And, you know, of course, Rob Dillingham didn't play in this game. Stomach bug. Sounds like he's good to go, which I always thought was so funny. It's like, if he's sick, why is he on the bench? Because then someone else is going to get sick, and we're going to have to deal with this against Florida. But, you know, I'm not a doctor, clearly, because we're sitting here doing this. But the point is, looking at this, I'm a little concerned in the right word. So here's where we're going to nitpick. My thought, what's going on in the front court? Obviously, we know Trey Mitchell. Hugo, and this is, Hugo looked incredible in his 25 minutes. Hugo had a plus minus, a team best plus minus of plus 14. And the numbers don't jump off the sheet at you. 6 points, four rebounds. The three blocks do. The three blocks jump off the sheet at you. But it's just what he does around the rim. I mean, he makes it difficult for opposing teams to score at the rim. And listen, I mean, it affected the minutes of Aaron Bradshaw and Big Z. Aaron Bradshaw plays. Now, he, you know, a lot of fouling going on there, and so that was part of it too. But 12 minutes from Bradshaw, 2 minutes from Big Z. I mean, Carson, what are your thoughts on the rotation of those three guys?
Yeah, so Bradshaw's kind of had a couple rough games in a row. Yeah. I think he just lacks the physicality that SEC teams play with, and that's kind of where you're seeing his minutes fall off. And that's where Hugo's minutes are picking right up, because Hugo is, he's a bigger guy. He's not as, I don't think he's as tall as Aaron Bradshaw, but he's thicker. And he plays the game physical. He's not afraid to get in there and rough somebody up, even if it causes a foul. He's ready to do anything for the team, and it shows.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting conversation, and you could argue a positive one too, but Justin Edwards, 9 minutes. Now, Coach Cal, you know, he got banged up in a scrimmage. I think he said, was it a hip or an ankle, whatever it was.
I think it was a knee.
Was it knee? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson, were you upset? I mean, seriously, and it's ladies and gentlemen, we got to remember this. This is a, you know, 17-year-old, 18-year-old basketball player, was supposed to be the number one pick, hasn't gone well. So we all expected him to be great, and he hasn't been. I don't want it to sound like we are knocking this young man because he hasn't played well. I mean, we're knocking him because he hasn't played good basketball, but that, you know, it's simple as that. It's basketball. He hasn't been playing well. And you know, we've been kind of asking for his minutes to go down a little bit, hoping maybe at practice something clicks and he figures it out, but his minutes did go down. And I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, I'm a little bit happy they did. I think that this Kentucky team played really good. And I think you got to see a dude. Now listen, a dude did not play well. A dude did not play well, but I'm not upset about it. Well, I mean, what do you mean?
He had 6 rebounds in 12 minutes.
He did have 6 rebounds. I forgot about the rebounds. 3 of them offensive. He did have a block too, but the 0-for-5, you know, that's,
yeah, but it's his first game back. You don't expect all the scoring in his first game back. I like how he affected the stat sheet in other ways, but
he did.
He didn't play as good as I think all American Adu should play, you know. But
yeah, no, he wasn't. I agree with you. I thank you for calling me out on that, because that was a little harsh. I don't think he played horrible, terrible. Like I said, I won his best game. You know, he was scoring the basketball before he got hurt. I mean, he was scoring, like, he looked good. So and I'm not asking to get 15 out of a dude. I'm asking to get 8 out of a dude. And I think that's perfect addition to this team. But yeah, 6 rebounds in 12 minutes is what this team needs, especially in the Florida game, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But I mean, yeah, the plus minus was a little ugly for a dude, but the 6 rebounds,
you can't always look too deep into those stats. I feel like a plus minus, it works sometimes, but it doesn't always work all the time.
It's not, you know, it's not gospel. It's not something you can look at and it is what it is. I agree with you. Something that it's same with KenPom and this and that. It's all what you interpret it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once again, just looking more at this game, it was, you know what? You saw the bench kind of. I mean, you got 35 minutes out of Shepherd, 25 minutes out of Hugo, 37 out of Reeves, 35 out of DJ, 33 out of Mitchell. And that's the lineup that Coach Cal said is his favorite lineup defensively and his favorite lineup to close games going forward. So is that going to be kind of the guys? It could be. And I think that's good because, you know, you still got the size. You got Trey. You got Hugo. You got, you know, 6'9", 6'10", 7 foot. But then you got a smaller little bit lineup there that can shoot, and DJ and Reeves and Reed Shepherd. It's a perfect mix of size. And listen, Reeves has done a good job rebounding the basketball this year too. I mean, you got to remember, he's 6'6", and when I sit next to him, he looks almost a little taller than 6'6". So he's no small, he's no guard, you know, small guard. And I really love that lineup. Carson, do you like that lineup?
Yeah, if you don't recall on the last podcast, I said my eight because I wanted to get it cut down to eight people. Yeah. But mine included every player on that except for Uganna. And I think Uganna does give us our best ceiling defensively as a starter, yes. In my opinion. He does. I had Z on there just because I think his skills are just something to look at. And I don't know if he's completely ready right now, but yeah. I just feel like the upside is there more than it is with the others. But Ugo should definitely be in that rotation after what we saw. He just provides something that we don't get, and yeah. You got to have those players on the court.
You know, I agree with you. And, you know, the big Z conversation, I'm not fully out yet, but I am going to hover the panic button. And when I say that, what I mean is this. We watched him play. Carson, you and I have watched a lot of basketball. There's the eyeball test is a thing, as we talk about it a lot. What we saw, even in the South Carolina game, where he didn't play, I mean, he did some things well. The Arkansas game,
two blocks in the first 2 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. So this game, what happened? He got beat on the baseline, and Coach Kyle took him out. That's what happened. If that shot doesn't go in, does he play more minutes? I will bet you a lot of money he does. Mm-hmm. I think Coach Cal, you know, sometimes, and listen, feed the hot hands a real thing. Why, you know, Ugo was playing good and you're fighting to win a basketball game. I'm not saying, you know, forcing.
And it's a Ugo paced game also, yes. You know, because it's a slower, more diabolical defensive game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. But at the end of the day, you know, and I think we've just about wrapped up previewing this game. I mean, I'm talking about this game before we move on to the Florida game, but I was really happy with this win because the shots aren't always going to fall. You're without Rob, who I think just flat out, when it comes to go get me a bucket, is your best guy. You know, I know.
Yeah, Rob's our flat out best scorer. It's not.
Exactly.
Well, Reeves too. I mean,
well, I know, but Reeves is different. It's like he does more. He does a lot. He can rebound. Coach Cal said he thinks he's one of the best defenders on the team. So I don't think it's just, you know, with Rob. You know, he's there to score the rock. He's not really
Rob also averages like over three assists too. So
yeah, no, he assists, but I'm saying he's an offensive player.
Yeah.
What I'm saying. You were missing that. And you know, so that's part of it. Rob has games where he scores 20. I mean, you know, this happens. You're missing.
Yeah, he's our projected highest draft pick.
Yeah. You're missing. What's he even averaging right now? Let me pull up. I forget what he's averaging, like 12. Yeah, 14. You're missing 14. He was 13.9. You're missing 14 points. You know, so that's a big deal. And now the good news is it's nothing. At first, I was like, "Oh Lordy, here we go. This is not good." You know, of course, it ends up just being a stomach bug. Thank you, everybody, for that not being serious because we would have freaked out here. I was happy with this win, Carson. I was happy with this win because it wasn't pretty. But you won.
Yep.
You know, I think that because there's a difference and it wasn't pretty. Like the Florida game, I don't know if you'd say it wasn't pretty. I'd say you scored the basketball and you played no defense.
Yeah.
Texas A&M game, it, you know, same thing.
You scored the basketball, played no defense, and lost.
Yes. Those two games. The South Carolina game, you didn't do anything. All systems
fail.
Yeah. but then the Arkansas game. It was ugly, but you won. And I'm not anyone that's concerned about this Kentucky offense. I would tell you stop right there. I'm not in any way long term concerned about this offense. They're going to be okay. But if they can play defense, like I said, Arkansas is bad, Carson. Arkansas is a bad offensive team. But there was just so many good defensive possessions and good things that I saw that make me go, man. Maybe this was, a tide shift. I mean, now anything. I mean, I kind of want to take that into the Florida game because Florida, where are they right now? Eighth in college basketball in points per game, scoring 85.4 a game. So Carson, before we take that transition into this Florida game, any more thoughts on the win over the Arkansas Razorbacks? 63-57 Cats win in Fayetteville.
No, but I do want to say something else about Justin Edwards. So he only played, you said, 9 minutes?
9 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that has to do a lot with rotations. And I think it has – it definitely has something to do with the dude coming back too. But I genuinely think our best lineup is with Reed Sheppard and Antonio Reeves on the court. And to have both those guys on the court, Justin can't be out there.
So. Yeah. I agree
with
you.
That's where I think that lies.
You hate for the young man. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no one is rooting for this. Obviously, we want him to be, but he just hadn't been good, and I'm hoping that he figures it out. I really, really am. But it's getting to the point where it's getting less and less likely as the games and as the days go by. But transitioning into, and I hope I'm wrong, I hope that this is like a meme in like 2 months. I'm like, remember those morons?
Less than 2 months. I hope it's a meme on Thursday.
Well, yeah. Whenever it's a meme, I hope it's a meme. I hope that we're laughed at because we aren't super high on Justin. I'd love for that to happen. So, but on to the Florida game. Carson, I'm concerned again. Let me be honest with you. I am. And as you all know, as you everydayers here at the Wildcats Today podcast know, I keep it 100% with my feelings about a game. I wasn't really concerned about the Arkansas game. It got concerning, but Kentucky wins, you know. I wasn't concerned about the Georgia game, which I know the score looked weird there, but they should have won the game by 50.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about this one. I think Kentucky will win. But if Kentucky has another ugly offensive day and the defense, it was a fluke against Arkansas, Florida can play basketball. I'm a believer. What is their record right now? Let me see what they are. They're 4-3 in SEC play. So Florida can play. I think Florida is going to be a tournament basketball team. I really do think that. So I'm a little concerned about this game just because you haven't shot the ball well. And maybe if that, two games turns into three and the defense was a bit fluky, could you come in and get beat on your home floor? I don't think so, but it could happen. Carson, what are your initial thoughts on this game? And then we'll run through some numbers on the Gators.
Yeah, so we saw last game when we played them. They love to shoot three-pointers and then rely on their amazing offensive rebounds to get another shot at it. So you really, as good defensively as we were against Arkansas, that has to continue. You have to close out, and then once the shot goes up, you have to get a body on somebody. You have to. And then that will limit the offensive rebound chances. Of course, there's going to be long rebounds and stuff you can't control.
Yeah.
But you have to do your best to close out on shooters, go over top of screens, do not go under screens, and get a body on somebody. And I think it's huge because we were talking when we previewed that game. We said it was an Adu game. It completely is an Adu game. He will be vital to the success of this team in this game.
I agree with you. I'm with you. And kind of speaking of why it's an Adu game, a player like Micah Hand Logton, which is just, it's one of those names that isn't dope, but kind of makes it cool. I like it. Hand Logton. It's like three different, beside the point. Last game against Georgia, what does he do? He has 23 points and 17 rebounds in the Gators' overtime victory over the Dawgs. Seven of those boards offensive, 10 of 13 from the field, and he made a three, which if he does that in Rupp Arena, there might be popcorn coming on the court from somewhere. Listen, that was a good ball game from this guy. Could that give him a little bit of confidence? He was the one that had those couple of tap-ins around the rim. He is a 7-footer, 6'11", 7-foot, or whatever he is. I'm pretty sure he's actually 7-foot. But, against Kentucky in the first matchup, let me pull up his numbers. I don't think they jumped off the charts at you, but I'm pretty sure he had a fine game. 6 points, 12 rebounds, 6 points, 12 rebounds. And how many of those were offensive? Six of them were. So he gets offensive boards. He's a guy to pay attention to. This is an interesting stat from the Florida game earlier in the season in Gainesville. They only had 11 offensive rebounds in that game, but they turned those 11 into 16 second chance points. That's a lot ratio wise. That's a pretty good amount,
Yeah.
So they took advantage of the second and third opportunities they were given. they're going to look to do that in this game again. So you got to box out, and you're exactly right, Carson. That is why this is in a due game to me. Run through the numbers. KenPom right now. The Gators are 39th in net. So that makes this a quad two game for the Cats. They're 36th in KenPom, 13th in offense, and 99 in defense. So they're a great offensive team, not a great defensive team. They're kind of like Kentucky, but just a little bit worse in both because, you know, Kentucky's 9th in offense and 70th in defense in KenPom. So Carson, I mean, aside to do, who else do you want to see play well in this game in Rupp Arena?
Yeah. You mentioned Han Logden, so I'm going to go with Ugana again. I think the Han Logden dude, I think, is like 7-1.
Yeah, let me pull up the actual height.
I think Ugo has to play good this game, play good defensively, and get a lot of rebounds, because if you're going to let Han Logden get 10 rebounds himself, like, you can't have that.
Exactly. And he is 7-1. I just pulled it up. This is a game, Legend. I would not want to go play them again in Gainesville. I would not want to do that. I think that they're playing good ball right now. I don't like the way we match up with them. You know, they are second in all of college basketball behind A&M in offensive rebounds per game, pulling in 16.25 a game. It's not a team I like. I mean, I don't want to, you know, Carson, when we get into March and we get into projections for the tournament, I don't want, you know, I mean, we can't control who we play, but not a team I want to mess with are the teams that get these offensive boards, the gritty, ugly teams. You know, I want to get into an offensive war with somebody and they can't, you know, and we'll win.
Most of these SEC teams are bad matchups for us.
Agreed, because that's kind of SEC basketball now. It's just the gritty, you know, offensive rebound.
Play great defense.
Line, play good defense. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But I think this is a huge week for the Cats. I don't want to say you have to go 2-0 because, I mean, the sky won't fall if you don't, but I would really love to go 2-0 this week. You know, and we're going to break down the Tennessee game. Don't you worry. That'll be a fun one. We might be on here for an hour and a half for that game. But it's a big week. Yes, they did. Tennessee did get in a little bit of trouble. Carson, we're going to have a little talk, by the way, before we record that episode. I'm gonna have to make like a text me what you're gonna say before you say it kind of rule. We'll do that. But I think you got to go 2-0 this week, Carson. I think if you go 2-0 this week, it's of course would be a quad two and a quad one win in Rupp Arena. Both of these games, I think you got to win these games. I think you got to win both of them. And I kind of have a feeling Kentucky will. But you know who doesn't think Kentucky's gonna win some of these games? ESPN, and I wanted to talk about that. Their metrics, ESPN's metrics believe, get this, Kentucky will finish SEC play 11-7. 11-7. I've never, and listen, this isn't a human being doing that. You know, it's metrics, it's numbers, it's the, you know, stats. And
you sure it isn't Jeff Goodman? Sounds a lot like something.
Could be Jeff Goodman. It could be. But that's not going to happen. We got to figure out, Carson, like, what will we do if that happens? Like, I mean, you know, like, we got to do something stupid. I'll wear a Tennessee shirt on the show. Well, you wouldn't do that. But Kentucky will not finish SEC play 11-7. They will not. These projections have Alabama coming into Rupp Arena and winning that game. And why that is insane to me is because these metrics love home and away. Love the home team, these metrics. I've noticed that from writing articles about some of this stuff. I have no words. You know, losing at Auburn, at Tennessee, I knew that.
That's reasonable.
At Mississippi State, I didn't think they were going to have, but they have the Cats losing at Mississippi State. And then the other one is they have the Cats losing Tennessee at home. And what was the other one, Carson? There was another. Let me pull it up. Losses at Tennessee.
At Auburn.
At Auburn.
Tennessee, Alabama. Mississippi.
Yes, those are the five. So those are the five losses they have down there. And I don't see that happening. I don't see us going to Mississippi State and losing. They're a good team, I think, but I don't see us losing that game. I don't see Alabama coming to beat us. at our place. I think we go 3-2 in those games. I think we lose. I think we split with Tennessee. I think we lose at Auburn. Just right now, unless something changes. Auburn had a really rough week. They were 0-4, which helps us, you know, potentially getting back in that SEC race.
Yeah, that is nice.
But, you know, those are the games that scare me just because that's going to be the Super Bowl of Auburn and the Super Bowl of Tennessee, those two games. It's hard to beat a team in the Super Bowl. Kentucky can do it and has done it, but it's hard to do. But if you beat Bama at home, beat Mississippi State at the hump, and then beat Tennessee at home on Saturday, go 3-2 in those games, I think you could win the rest of your games and finish SEC play with 4 losses, and I'd be stoked. So that's where we're at right now. But I think it's crazy. So that ESPN's metrics have it like that. So Carson, you know, we've talked about it. Keep Florida off the glass. Play some good defense. They have been scoring the ball, and Kentucky needs to get back to scoring themselves. Any other closing thoughts on that before we call it a day? But in the give me your MVP and your score prediction.
Yeah. So the line opened at 6.5, and that's a tough one for me. If I were gonna feel good about it, I would bet it down to 4. Maybe even 3.5.
Yeah, this game could be tight, folks. This game, you know what I mean? This is a game, if you win by 1 point, I don't care. I know you feel the same way, Carson. Like, this is the one, just get the win and be done with Florida kind of thing.
Yeah, so I would probably take it down to that level. You might even see money put on it to where it drops a little bit from 6.5. But I think the Cats are going to win. I think they'll get back to their offensive capabilities. It's a home game, which is nice to have 2 home games in the same week. That's really nice to get the flow back. Hopefully the defense stays the same and our offense just, you know, gets back to where it was. But we got to hope for that. And I would say, I'd say Kentucky 86. I'm going to go Florida 81.
Okay.
And I'm going to have the player of the game. The player of the game is going to be Antonio Reeves. But you're going to get good games from DJ and Ugonna as well.
Okay. I'm with you. I think the Cats win this one. As you know, concerned as I've sound, I think the Cats still win this one 12 points. 88-76 is my prediction. My point has been this game could be closer than we think. I still think the Cats play well and win this one by 12 points, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kentucky won this game 88-85, you know, or 91-89, or, you know, something like, or 81-79. So, you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they won this by 2, 3, 4, 5 points.
It'd be nice to see them just beat someone down.
That's kind of what I'm hoping. Like, if I told you that they won this game by 12 points, would you be pretty happy? I'd be pretty happy. I think this is a better team that people are giving it credit for, because I think that Florida's played a little bit of a tough SEC schedule.
Yeah, no, they're good, and they're older, and they're experienced, and they've
good
got
guard
some
play. Good guard play. And that's something to remember, too. I wanted to add that point. Walter Clayton Jr. and Zion Pullen both had 23 against Kentucky last time. So, you know, guard play is good for the Gators, something to pay attention to in this game for sure. But, so I think Cats win this one 88-76. I'm going to go MVP. Who do I think is going to play well? I think Adu is going to score a little bit. I think you're going to see 8 points from Adu, and I think you're going to see, you know, 7-8 rebounds for him, kind of like an 8-8 game from him.
That'd be nice.
We're going to look at it, and we're going to go, oh, Reeves had 25, but Adu really was the guy, the gritty, got it.
And a couple blocks probably, you know,
exactly.
Transition.
So that is my thought. Here. Anything else, Carson? Let's call it a day. Anything else?
No, just hit that like button and subscribe and leave your MVP and game predictions in the comments.
That helps, yes. And then big news, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially this episode. You are watching. We are going to be wherever you get your podcasts now. Got that set up. So wherever you get it, Spotify, anywhere. I get them on Spotify. Carson, you do Apple, whatever.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts. Right?
Wherever you get them. It's there. Wildcats Today podcast. Go get it there. You know, hey, if you're watching on YouTube and you ever got a day, you know, I got to drive into work, go ahead and tune in on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts.
Or if you don't want to see Andrew and you want to just listen to him.
That's a very good point, too, because I get I think a lot of people might be quick to take this option. I agree. Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, so wherever you get your podcasts, you can now find us sitting here talking a little bit of hoop. But that's going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. We will see y'all again on Friday, breaking down the Tennessee game in what should be a very, very fun episode. We will see you then for that one. Everybody have a great rest of your day today and enjoy the game tomorrow. Hopefully on Friday, we'll break down a big Kentucky win. Talk to y'all later.